Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show, I'm joined by the four talented members of the Wild Horses Improv Troupe for another tell-all female roundtable. We'll be going in depth on all things sex, and things are gonna get, dare I say, wild. Thanks for listening. I have a question for you. Would you go to the grocery store and pick out just one type of food to eat for every meal, every day? Of course not. So why would you limit yourself to just one type of sex toy? That would be my biggest nightmare. So think of AdamandEve.com like a sex toy supermarket. They have all my favorite high quality brands like WeVibe, Magic Wand, Jimmy Jane, Pure Lube, and more. And to make it easier to stock up on an arsenal of toys and lube, the folks at Adam and Eve have set me up with a special deal for all of you. Go to AdamandEve.com and for a limited time, you'll get 50% off any item. But that's not all. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll get 3 free adult DVDs, you know, for a little inspiration, plus an extra free gift and free shipping on your entire order. They do not gouge you with shipping, because that's what I hate. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. 50% off one item. Type Emily for the offer code to check out. And when you do, 3 free DVDs, free shipping, free stuff. Use code Emily at AdamandEve.com.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and anything, everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com.
You got that right. Anything and everything.
Anything and everything in between. It doesn't matter. We do it all. And thank you, everyone, for subscribing on iTunes. It's so easy. You subscribe. There's a great little button on our site because we do 2 shows a week. And you'll never miss it. And Menace loves when you review the show.
Yeah, if you, I've seen there's a significant amount.
I know, whenever you
of,
ask, it doesn't work, but you ask, Menace.
Yeah, please, because I guilt tripped them. I go, look, you don't have to pay a dime for the show. Nothing. It's free content. All you got to do is do us a favor and go to iTunes and click that review button and, you know, give your honest review.
Unless Emily, you hate it and then just don't listen.
Emily would love for you just to give us 5 stars and say how much you love us.
Tell us what you think, yeah.
I'm used to getting beat up and people hating me, so don't even worry about it. Also, it's not just there on iTunes. Anywhere you listen or how you listen to the podcast, please just, you know,
put a little comment. Put a comment, review. Tell your friends. If you're like, hey, I learned something, tell your friends. It just helps because I really want to do the show, you know, forever, which my whole dream is always to find what I want to do forever. And I think I haven't talked to Menace about this yet, but I'd like to go back to doing it a few more days a week.
Oh, really?
Well, right now we do two.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to do it 10 days a week.
Well, you're building your own Sex with Emily compound. And
I am. We just got a new office. So.
Yeah, putting a whole studio together so you can do that. I don't see why you can't do that.
Yeah, I think we will.
Yeah.
So thanks everyone for that. And also for following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and now Snapchat. It's all at Sex with Emily across the board.
Wow.
And subscribe to our newsletter. That's all.
And you're getting addicted to Snapchat, which
is
great. I kind of
am. I had a moment where I know it's so funny, though, because like with my nieces, I've been like, wait, show me. I don't get it. They're like, oh, Aunt Em, you know, they love me. But I was like, they've been on it forever. And then I started watching yours. I'm like, this is really cool. And it does, they don't really give you instructions. And then everyone, if you're on Snapchat, you know this. But then I took a few minutes the other day, and I focused, which is really hard. But when I do, amazing things happen. I'm like, I get it. It's genius. Yeah. It's so fun. So you can just check out what's going on.
That's
what's
cool.
Really going on.
Yeah. And if people, they heard you mentioned that the Snapchat that I run is for the morning show that I'm part of called The Woody Show. And it's mostly like food and or like events
dog,
that we go to.
Churro.
My dog. And then also, The Woody Show is a podcast. We podcast every day. It's about pop culture and news and stuff like that. There's barely any sex stuff in there. So if you're not going to,
this is where you get
if you're looking
if
for
you
a podcast
show,
to masturbate to, that is not it.
No, but it's a funny show and everyone loves it and loves you and it's awesome.
Thank you.
Check that out, The Woody Show. And also, I'm going to San Francisco next week.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I'm taking a class.
Oh, my God.
I knew
you put San Francisco and a class together. Fuck, what is it?
You think
naked
I'm going to get my clitoris
yoga,
wrapped again? It's not
being
naked yoga.
Electrocuted on your nipples. What is it?
Oh, well, maybe on my date, but not that. No.
Are you going there for penis
because you're
single?
No, no.
Oh, what?
Dude, if I want penis, it's for sure in L.A., not San Francisco. I was there long enough. I was with every penis in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. There aren't many.
Yeah.
It's a very small town.
Small city.
With small penises, just kidding. Remember Celeste and Danielle, who were on the show?
Yes.
Celeste and did their sex coaches.
Yeah.
They do this thing called, remember, they were on and they were like, come to our Somatica training. And Somatica is a type of therapy. And it's actually over a 6-month period. I'm going to go every other week, once a month for 5 days. And I'm going to learn. It's like a therapy technique where I can really help myself, help my listeners. It's about attachment, how we attach to each other, how to really understand what you want sexually from a partner, how to talk about it. I mean, a lot of things I talk about, but I think in life you always have to be, you know, learning and educating yourself more so you can always keep growing in your career. And
wait, so you're going to be once a month back in San Francisco for 5 days?
Yeah. Like a long weekend. It's like Thursday to Monday. But I'm really excited because I haven't really done anything since my sex school, and I love learning. And
what ex-boyfriend are you going to stay with?
You know, these five days. They're all like tapped out. Like they're married or
all week.
Although, you know what's funny? An ex did circle back last night. He's like, out of the blue, he must have known. He's like, when are you coming back? I miss you.
The well must be dry.
The well is dry. Yeah, exactly. He just got divorced.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am sleeping at my ex's house, but he's going to be out of town.
I knew it. He's not going to be out of town single time.
But this time he is.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I'm staying there.
Oh, then eventually you're going to have sex with
him. I have so many
friends.
No, you know what? He has a girlfriend. But
you're sleeping at his house for 5 days.
It's fine.
Every month.
Yeah.
You're gonna go down on him like on the.
He has a really nice penis. I have to say, his penis is spectacular. But that's not why I'm still friends with them. Because obviously I don't get to see the penis.
Uh-huh.
So also, I just need to welcome everyone. Welcome to Masturbation Month.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite time of year.
Love it.
People say that about Christmas and stuff. But I love Masturbation Month because we've got so many great things planned. We've got blogs, show topics that are really going to take your masturbation to the next level. Because it's not just about your solo time. It's about mutual masturbation, how to get more orgasms, how to get more pleasure, really, and how to understand your body. We're doing giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a Get Tight for Summer giveaway, and this is a contest to encourage pelvic floor health because you know that I am obsessed with pelvic floor health. It's important for men and for women. So just check out the website for more details because what we're doing contests, we're doing a few of them, but we want to know how you self-love. Tell us your masturbation routine, lighting candles, you know, porn. Do you have like a sex solo sex playlist? Like, I want to know how you do it. Like, how, you know, like for women, like some women have their little, like they have to be on their stomach or back, or they use this toy or that toy. Men, I don't know what you guys do. You sit in front of your laptop with your pants down to your knees. Yeah. It's all different. I want to know what you guys do. So email me, and we've got some masturbation-friendly prizes, and you know I've got good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. And then recently we did a podcast, which was probably one of my favorites, the Drinking with Emily podcast. Mm-hmm. Turns on, it's called, did you see what we call it? Drinking with Emily, turn-ons, turn-offs, and tequila.
All right.
So we did our drinking show at the house. Men's night, we finally had it. We've been talking about it for years. My apartment, the whole team was there, the whole Sex with Emily team, and it was a hilarious show. No editing. No limits. That was fun.
It's very open.
I know. It's very open.
Because I think a couple of your staff hate me.
No.
And then so I had to tell them
they
why.
Don't hate you. They were afraid. They thought that maybe you... They didn't understand. They don't know you because you come in, we do the show, and you leave. And I'm like, no, Menace is the bomb. I love Menace. And we hadn't hung out and partied in a long time. So mm-hmm. It was just... It felt like family, and I loved it. And they don't hate you. They just were, ooh, Menace. Because you give off that thing. Right.
What? And I explained it.
Yes, we all explained it. Now we're all in love with you. We want to have it do it every week.
Every week. I don't know if I can handle it. It was a little much.
I'm glad you stayed out as late as you did.
I know. It was way past my bedtime.
The food was good. It was fun. Okay, so now quick shout out to our sponsors, and we'll be right back for a little Sex in the News, and then our guests, which I love. They're hilarious, and we'll be right back. Okay, it's time to talk about what's in your pants. And for once, I'm not talking about your penis. Imagine that. I'm talking about your underwear. Okay, think about it. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a suit or you're wearing sweats. You spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. And not only that, on some of those days, someone else might see you in your underwear. So obviously, you want a pair that makes you feel comfortable and confident. Now, for me, this has been a challenge. You know, there's always those underwear that like feel really comfortable, but like they don't look that good and vice versa. But have you tried MeUndies? They are so stylish, and they are the softest underwear in the world. I love them. They're comfortable, and you might be hearing about them a lot. And I thought, like, what is this? You order underwear online? But, like, I'm, like, blown away by them. And I was like, can I get some more? And you know that I am an expert, I have to say, about what goes on down there. And in my professional opinion, if you're not wearing MeUndies or giving them a try, you are doing something wrong. Every pair of MeUndies, they're made from sustainably sourced Modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. That explains it. I can't even describe the fit and feel of MeUndies, but once you try them on, you'll understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear, but they're also sexy. They sent me these like little sexy boy shorts and stuff. MeUndies has dozens of styles for men and women and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear, whether anyone can see them or not. And if you don't even like them, if you're like, oh, these aren't for me, I don't like these MeUndies, they're free, no questions asked. And so right now, Sex with Emily listeners can save up 20% off your first order. Shipping's free in the U.S. and Canada, and you save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. Just go to MeUndies.com/Emily. That's MeUndies.com/Emily and save 20% and get some fancy panties that are comfy. Okay, there's a study, Menace, Sex in the News. 3 out of 4 women would choose a man with love handles over a man with six-pack abs. I thought you'd like this.
I love it.
Six-packed guys are almost every lady's fantasy, right? Wrong.
No, but it's funny that you say this. I know some of the hottest women ever, and they love it, a doughy guy over a six-pack guy.
I think that that's very, very
true. But I wanted to hear the reasons.
There's reasons.
Okay.
You're going to love this. The question still stands, though, why do women like the six-pack? What makes women fall for a guy because of it? Turns out it's just in our minds. In the real world, a recent study revealed that 3 in 4 women would choose a man with love handles over one sporting a six-pack. The woman claimed, when it comes to real life, we don't want chiseled perfection in our bed. So why don't they want a hot, buff, perfect man?
I know. Weird.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
The sad answer is, we're worried we won't shape up. 74% of women in the survey said they'd feel self-conscious taking their clothes off in front of a perfectly toned man. We feel far more comfortable with flab because it's less threatening. And women, we are under so much pressure to look a certain way and to be a certain way and a certain, you know, and we're so worried about things that having a guy who's not like, you know, doing the six-pack sit-ups all the time takes some of that pressure off of us. And this is kind of funny, though. I'd love to meet a female whose sex life isn't affected by a fat day, and I've yet to meet a man who is letting fat stop them from having sex.
Yeah.
But you have said you've had a fat day where you ate too much and didn't feel like having sex.
Oh, yeah. All the time. That's after, like, being in Vegas at, like, a buffet and things like that.
Right.
Which you find very attractive and sexy.
I love when a man eats at a buffet.
I forget, Chris Pratt.
Go back for seconds.
Chris Pratt, the actor, he's married to Anna Faris. Yes. Thank you. And she said, because Chris Pratt, he fluctuates from when he's like super in shape for some movies and then he's doughy in other movies. And she said that she prefers him doughy over super fit. And the same guy, Jim from The Office. Sorry, I'm really bad with names. But Jim from The Office.
I don't even watch TV.
So. Yeah, he just recently got in shape, and his wife, Emily Blunt, liked him the other way versus being super in shape.
So
maybe they are saying that for the media.
I'm not saying they're wishing to work out for their health.
It makes me feel good, and I support it.
I thought you'd like that.
Thank you.
Okay. That's all I got for Sex and News, because we have our wonderful guest here. So,
yes.
Okay. I want to introduce the Wild Horses women. Wild Horses what, troupe? Yeah. Amazing talent.
Troop works, or team.
You're all female long-form improv show in L.A. What did you say?
You're making us like, question, what are we?
Explain. You're all super talented on your own right. Comedians, actors, improv. And then I met you. Well, Lauren, I first met you at Bangarang.
Yeah.
That was amazing. The Friday night, every Friday night or one Friday night?
We do a show every Friday night at UCB in LA. And you came and answered sex questions from the audience, and it was so fun. And everyone, I mean, it was really great to see people like open up in the audience and like raise their hand and be like, I keep dating someone who wants to choke me or whatever.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it's so, I love the format. And it was the same thing for the Wild Horses, that we came on, we talked about sex, and then they do improv. So everything we've talked about, they create, like, they do improv after it. It's just, and I'm just in awe because they're so amazingly talented. And I wish I really actually went to my improv class that I signed up for.
Oh, I got like a D in improv.
They
made me take it. No, when I went to film school, they made me take it.
That
was terrible.
A good thing. I think it's like the best training for really, well, especially in this business, but for anything, right? Just for comfort in,
definitely.
In life.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's go around. You guys can just introduce yourselves, tell your name, what you do, and how often you masturbate.
Wow.
Because we're just breaking it down.
Oh, my God. I'm not comfortable.
I have to go.
Masturbate.
I didn't know what this was.
I don't know.
My name is Mary Holland, and I'm... What else was I supposed to...
What do
I do?
And we'll be giving out all of your contact, and it'll also be on our site, but you're welcome to throw out your Twitter or whatever you want.
Okay, great. My Twitter is at mholland85. I am an actor and comedian. I perform at Upright Citizens Brigade every week, and I would say that I masturbate daily.
Nice.
Probably.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
At least.
Okay.
That's great. I'm so excited about this.
So you guys are going to learn about each other.
I know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
My name is Lauren Lapkus. I basically also do all the same things as Mary. I'm an actor and comedian, and you can find me at Lauren Lapkus on Twitter. And I would say I masturbate a couple times a week. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Breaking the ice.
Hi, I'm Erin Whitehead. I'm also an actress, writer, comedian. And I go through spurts where, like, I could not go for, like, 6 or 8 months, and then I'll go daily for a couple weeks, but then I'll just drop off again.
Got
it.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Thoughts? Great. I'm Stephanie Allen. My Twitter is at Steph Allen, and I am also an actor and comedian at UCB. And I also masturbate, I would say... few times, maybe like 4 or 5 times a week.
Okay, that's good. Just get comfortable here.
No, that was
great. That was like foreplay.
Okay, ask me more.
Okay, so tell me. So I mean, Wild Horses.
Wait, hold on, Emily.
Oh, how often you
made? Yeah, you made everybody else share.
God, well, I gotta be honest with you. So my job is to masturbate. I mean, truly, like I, you know, a lot of I get sex. 25 pounds of sex toys delivered to my office a week. I mean, I need to. Like, it's, and I think it's become, because I'm a procrastinator, lately I've been putting it off, I think, because I'm like, I have so many toys and I'm overwhelmed. No, but I typically would bet, I go in phases. So, like, sometimes I'll do it every day. But lately, I feel like the last 2 months, it's just been, I think I need to more because I've been stressed out, but I would say it's been like once a week. But then I'll go in phases where it's like twice a day, or like I don't leave my house on a Saturday, you know?
Right.
So, it fluctuates.
I can't get anything done.
Exactly. I mean, so, you know, like I'm masturbating, like I'm taking notes and it's work, but yeah. I'm going to do it more though, now.
that we're talking about it.
Cool.
Maybe think about it. We don't always ask everyone that. I'm like, I want to know. I'm doing my titles now. What about you, Menace? You don't masturbate, do you? You don't watch porn. I'm not going
to. No, I don't watch any porn. And the French bulldog is always around looking at me.
You got to get over that. Do you have the problem with dogs? Or do you have dogs that you worry about watching you have sex?
I don't really care about animals watching, but if they're just staring, I feel like that is weird.
It is.
Get them out of the room.
And she never stops staring at me constantly.
You gotta just train her to leave the room.
And then she cries and I feel bad.
You gotta get off.
She's still a new puppy.
Sometimes I feel guilty if I'm masturbating next to my cat in bed. Like, she's just laying there. I feel like, you don't know what I'm doing.
It's right. Weird.
Or she does.
I know. Yeah. You gotta get in the moment. Okay, so tell me about, like, Wild Horses. Like, how did you all meet? So you've all been doing stand-up at UCB? Improv?
Yeah.
Improv. Okay. Tell me.
We all knew each other from different stuff. We were in a book club together, and I think that's kind of where we started to get to know each other better, but we started hanging out more, like, just as a foursome, and then I got invited to do an improv festival that was all female, and so I put together this team because I didn't have a female team, and I was like, who do I want to travel with? So I picked, like, the fun Aww. People that I knew, and then we ended up having good shows, so we kept performing together.
How long have you guys been doing it?
Well, a couple years
now.
Yeah,
I would say like two or three years.
Yeah, two or three.
And how do you think, how has improv helped your everyday life, would you say?
I think improv, well, it really trains you to be in the moment, and listening is so important in improv. So I think that it keeps you present and keeps you in the moment, I find. In life.
What?
And it really helps my relationships. It really strengthens my relationships too, I think, because I am the improv trains you to just listen and be curious more, and so I feel like I'm much more engaged in my relationships.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And it seems so common for people to need to control something or have something tight or go a certain way or get in their head of it goes this and this in every capacity in different areas, and it's like an improv, you're like, that will ruin the scene, that will ruin everything.
Yeah.
And so then, and I feel like I see that in life too, it's like, oh, you gotta just, this is how your wedding's going, so right. Go with it.
Exactly. You know? You're more likely to go with the flow because life is not neat, like, it's neat, you know, it's messy. Like, things never go the way you're supposed to. So that's what I like about it, because thinking that it has to go perfect and memorize all the lines and stuff, you guys are, but just the way your minds work too, it's brilliant. You have to go see their improv. Like, I'm like talking about sex and vaginas.
Oh, improv is always fun to watch.
No, but it was like, but you are also just very, very talented. So everyone should check it out.
Thank you.
Come to LA.
Did you say improv is always fun to watch?
It is.
So impressive.
Why? I'm sure you guys judge improv way more than I would, right? Since you do it.
This
sucks.
You've done a lot.
Right. I think, well,
I'm usually just an audience member who's had a lot to drink, so I think everything's hilarious.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
You're ideal.
But I'm not like...
Come to our show.
I'm definitely not going to be heckling you, but I probably wouldn't judge you as much.
Yeah, that's nice.
Are you in relationships?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
Marriage and relationship.
I'm going through a divorce at this time, so that's me.
Okay, so not in a relationship. Transition.
I am not in a relationship.
Okay.
And I am recently married.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, so what about so you've been single in L.A. What do you guys think about dating in L.A.? How do you meet people?
I find it very hard. I feel like I tried OkCupid, and I tried, you know, eHarmony. I tried all that stuff.
I didn't know that you did that.
I did. Well, it was, you know, I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years now, so I haven't.
Oh, my God. I thought it was four, but I can't believe it's five.
I know. Me either.
Wow.
This was before that.
Okay. During.
Yeah. And I think I really started to meet people and have an easier time of it when I started taking improv classes and fell into a community of people with similar interests, and that made it a little bit easier. But before that, it just felt like impossible.
So is it because you feel more confident and easier to talk to people? Is that why? Because your skills, or you just had a community that made you, or kind of both?
I think the community also, like, I was getting more confident because I was, like, doing something that I like to do, and I was having a fun time doing it. But also, it just was easier to meet people because people in your class would have a birthday party and you'd meet people through friends versus like, I'll just go to a bar and hope to meet somebody. You know,
so
like
always it tell people exactly because you get these emails every day or questions. You're like, how do I meet someone? I never do. It's like leave your house, like do something that interests you. Take a class, do something. So that's a, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
What about dating? Like, how have you lived here a while and dated and done all that stuff?
Well, it's weird because before I got married, I dated a lot in the improv community too. But like that was to me, I was like, are we just hanging out? And when I never felt like I went on a date or we were dating, but then I was with someone and I was like, what is this? Like, it felt like teenagers hanging out at houses and having very casual hooking up whenever we felt like it. There wasn't really anything that was like, what I was looking for at all.
That's exactly dating now. So you summed it up. People, I feel like there's not a lot of commitment happening right away. There's a lot of hanging out. There's like not
there's
a lot
no
of
labels, guys.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Let's not put a label on it.
So that's annoying. And we say this in San Francisco years ago. We started the show and now it's just like that is the way now. I was like, how am every guy never asked you out? Like meet up with my friends. Mm-hmm. But now it's like no one's even looking for it. It seems that way.
Yeah. I've heard from my single friends that it's like super hard in LA more than other cities that they've lived in, that people just really don't want to commit or like go out again. Like it's just very vague, like a lot of the ghosting or whatever.
Oh, the ghosting.
But I feel like that too, like on the other end of it where it's like, well, I have this tomorrow and then I have that, so here are the days I'm free and at 11 p.m. and then that doesn't work for me, all right, I'll check back in a month.
Everyone is so, you're right, everyone's so busy and it is hard to pin it down, but I guess you know you also find people when you're at the right time, when someone else is, because to say that it's the everyone thinks they live in the worst town, San Francisco we thought, and New York, LA, yeah. Like, I think everyone when you're single, like it's just hard, but I think you know if you're out there and you do meet people. I mean, I don't know. I think it's all dating is just challenging.
I've mentioned this before on past podcasts, but the single girls that I know in Los Angeles, they tell me that the guys, at least that they're talking to, are never actually doing what they want to do for a living. So all their free time is focused on that. They have a day job, but they want to do improv. So at night, they're doing improv.
Yeah.
You know? So they're... Yeah, their free time is constantly taken up, and they don't have any time to put into a relationship.
Or wanting to just be in a, maybe a financial situation that they're not in. Like, I feel like there's so many people that are like, yeah, I want to get married and have kids, but once all of these things happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And until then, I can't really commit to this, because if I then go that route, I could lose everything I've built.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're in this, like, conversation of it's like, who wants to be with somebody that's fearful of their... I don't know, security.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I think, like, I've got to make the career first before I can ever do anything else. And, like, why can't you have the both simultaneously? But I'm guilty of that. I think it was an excuse to avoid intimacy, but I did do that for a long time.
I did that too.
Right? I was like, I just have to work. I would love to be in a relationship, but, you know, I've got to work. You can come over, bring your laptop. I mean, those were my dates for a really long time. So be in comedy then. Do people expect you when you're on dates? Do they expect, like, be funny? Or how does it affect your dating and relationships?
I think for myself, I've always tried to avoid people who expect anything like that from me. I think it's like a natural thing to be funny in conversation, but I remember going on a few dates before, like a long time ago when I was actually like, I was like 20, but like it was all with improv guys, so you kind of naturally have that. But then if I go out with someone who doesn't do that at all, then it is that, there is a little bit of that. I mean, I was really young though, so it's hard to say comparatively, but... I think typically it's a lot easier for comedians to date other comedians, probably because of that.
I was going
to
ask that though, if you do like dating other comedians, because I know some are like, no, I wouldn't want to, because we're all messed up. I mean, this is just some comedians, but they're more comedians stand up, not improv.
There's a difference, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a very distinct difference.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys are as messed up.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, improv people really just want to have fun.
Yeah.
I do find, well, it's. To me, like, it's less about, like, I want to date someone who's funny.
Right.
And more that there's a similar, like, wavelength that's happening. Like, we're doing bits and we're, you know, it just... I have only really dated or been interested in other comedians, other improvisers, or... And I think it's because, like, oh, yeah, we're, like, on the same page.
Sense.
Yeah, versus I think if I tried to date someone who like was in finance, it would take a lot of adjusting because yeah. we're just on totally different.
Right.
I don't know.
Just the way you communicate.
Yeah, the way you communicate. Yeah.
And they wouldn't get all the spreadsheets and stuff. You're like, it doesn't matter. It's all going to work out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But we need to lock
yes,
down.
And.
Right, yes, and.
Exactly. No. I totally agree with that statement because my girlfriend, she worked in radio. So she like totally gets it. Like, oh, I need to leave right now and go record something or something like that. And people that I dated in the past are like, oh, you're going to leave right now? Blah, blah. What are you doing? Like when I'm out working at a concert or something like right. that.
You need someone to support your career.
And they'd be totally annoying. But now it's just like, she gets it. She worked in the industry. So I understand, like, dating somebody that does something exactly that you do, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, the hours, too, are mm-hmm. a lot more understandable and forgiven. Like, when I'm dating somebody who gets asked to do an 11 o'clock show last minute, I'm not like, what the fuck?
Right,
where are you going?
Like, you're like,
yeah.
Date?
Yeah, totally. And I've like definitely seen that be destructive for relationships yeah. where people don't both do this. Like when one person's doing improv or whatever, where you have these weird late nights and the other person doesn't do that, and then that would be the time you spend together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're not giving them that time, which it makes sense for what you want to do, but doesn't necessarily work for that relationship.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's like a priority thing too, because I feel like there's a point where no matter how much you love it and you're doing it, you still want to at some point be like, but I do sometimes want to choose the relationship over like
yeah.
11 o'clock last minute show if we had plans, you know, like
definitely.
That's true.
Gonna forward
that's
your,
a really good point.
Your career, one thing, but if it's like yet another indie improv show with 20 people in the audience,
right?
Yeah.
Like, so what's more important?
What are you doing?
Yeah, then you just don't care about your relationship,
right?
It's a balance. It's all a balance.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to let you know that it's Masturbation Month. So welcome to Masturbation Month. It's May.
Wow.
So hence the question in the beginning of the podcast.
They weren't here at the beginning, but May is Masturbation Month. So it's a very important month. It's my favorite month of the year. So I want to ask you guys some more questions now that we already warmed up with how often frequently you masturbate. When did you first start masturbating? Like, do you remember when you first were like, wow? Because some, you know, girl were little girls and they, you know, they were like in the shower or like riding a horse or, you know, or yeah, I'm just curious when you discovered it all.
I started very, very young. I discovered like in preschool. And I remember, just thinking everybody knew about it. And I was so excited when it'd be nap time because then I'd get to lay on my cot and just like move around a lot.
God, I wish we were friends then. I was late, but I didn't know until I was like 20. So
yeah, I started cool. very, very young. But I have a lot of, like, shame wrapped around it because I remember I would do it sometimes in school, like in elementary school. Oh, God. I think I've probably told you guys
yeah.
this story. But there was one time in fifth grade, our desks were clumped together in these little clusters. And so the four of us at the cluster would be facing each other, and I was just kind of like rocking back and forth on my seat. And
you were doing that improv the other night. I thought that was weird. You were Mary.
No, I wasn't.
Maybe you should though.
Yeah, I was just listening. but I just thought, well, nobody notices, or it's going to be fine. And then one of the guys at the desk was like, "Hey, Mary, why do you go like this a lot?" And I like, my heart just dropped into my stomach, and I was like, "Is this not a thing that I just immediately?" Just so much shame around it,
right?
I mean, I kept doing it,
right?
But,
you're like, I'm not gonna do it at school. I won't tell you how.
I just won't do it at school. Yeah, I think that I'll never forget that moment because
yeah.
I was like, oh, you don't do this in public,
right? Did your parents ever say anything to you? Did you go home and?
I mean, there's so many times that, like, I remember this one time I was supposed to be going to bed, and my mom, and I was like, I had bunched up my covers, and I was like going at it, and my mom came in, and I like pretended like I was asleep on the covers, and yeah, there was so many times that I was caught.
Right. But you still do it every day. Still get out the practice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Lauren?
I think I had like a couple moments of kind of experimenting with that when I was growing up, but I think it wasn't really until I went to college that I really got, like, figured out what it was more. And I think maybe that was, like, the freedom of, like, not being at, like, my parents' house or something. Like, I think, like, I always had, like, a door that wouldn't close all the way growing up. You know, it was just, like, I always had, like, things that made it more difficult for me to have, like, real privacy, I think.
Right.
And my house is, like, small. You could just hear everyone. Like, I could hear my dad cough and the other, you know, so it's, like, it's,
like, kind of, like, great material.
But I think, so I think once I was, like, even though I had a roommate in my dorm in college my freshman year, I still was, like, now I'm figuring it out. And, like, I would, like, take risks with her, like, in the room and just be like,
I would, like,
do
you do that too?
In which is, like, room. Less privacy than I had before, but I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. That's how you learn to do it so quiet.
So, you do that too? Yeah, that's true. Quiet, the quiet masturbation.
Well, I still remember, too, like, this wasn't masturbation, but I remember, like, hearing about it, and I had no idea what it was or what you would do. And so when I was, like, probably, like, between 11 and 13, 15, I would just, like, pretend my hand was a guy's hand and feel myself up, like, over and over. Like, because I'd put my hand on there and nothing. So
right.
It's like, well, I don't know what people do. But I didn't know movement or anything like that. So I would just keep pretending that there was a guy feeling me up, and I'd, like, imagine he was like, you're so amazing.
See, that's really good, though, to be able to visualize that and then get yourself turned on.
I had a whole storyline, and I would just keep restarting because I was like, I don't know what happens after this. Second phase is as far as I've got.
Wait, how old were you?
Like, anywhere, I bet that started at, like, 11 or 12, and then, like, I didn't figure it out until a guy went down on me. My first boyfriend was 18, went down on me, and then I was like, oh!
Right, okay, now I get it. That's good, the first time, and it just worked like that?
It was, yeah. And
so
I was
lucky.
Like, this is, oh, I get what this is. And then figured out the motion. But, yeah, in college, I can't believe I did. I'm sure she did too.
Right.
But I remember being like, you have to, like, I like control my breathing so you're not even, like, breathing heavily.
Yes.
There's no way I wanted her to know. And she was like the worst. She watched Golden Girls all the time. So Golden Girls was playing while I was.
Yeah, exactly. And she was so white and it's weird when you're thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And was it mostly clitoral? Well, Stephanie, we'll get your answer.
I also started very, very young. Like, I think preschool. Very young, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Right, they don't tell you.
Yeah, it was more just like, this feels great. Like, trying different things, like, not even knowing it was sexual, because you don't know what sex is. It's just like, this feels good. And then I stopped, and I don't really know why, and then I didn't start again until maybe 19 or 20.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
I'm just always curious how you... how everyone got down. What about you, Menace?
Me? I think I was in, like, junior high. And it's weird because no one ever told me about it. Somehow I just figured it out
by
myself.
That's what guys do. You got your pee. You're like, oh, this thing's sticking out. I touched it by mistake. Women, it can be more challenging.
Yeah. There was never a discussion about it.
No one tells you anything. Yeah. That's why we're here. We're telling people.
Little kids are listening to this.
Yeah, there are little friends didn't even talk about it, though.
No, nobody talked about it. See, that's why so my friends, maybe they did. I wasn't listening. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But no, I never, didn't even know about orgasms. It didn't occur to me. I had, like, a very liberal home, like, growing up. But I had sex. It wasn't that good. I was like, it's okay. I'll do it. And then one of my friends was like, well, don't you have orgasms? And I was like 20. I was like, what? What is that? What do you mean? And I know. Mary's a face of, like, look of horror on her face.
Well,
I get it.
Yeah, I remember. Because I used to have them. Well, like, I would bring myself to the point of orgasm when I was so young. And I did know what it was. I thought I was, like, dying or, like, there was something crazy happening. And so I would say this word when it was happening. And I'd go, alert, alert, alert.
That's so cute.
It felt like, oh, my God. Okay, crazy. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. And I got so scared to, like, bring myself to... I would, like, do it because it feels good, but then wouldn't ever... I don't think it was until college that I fully was like, oh, I can survive this wave.
We just don't get enough information about it. I mean, hopefully now. Well, no, they really don't, because it's just all about porn. So that's kind of a bummer. Do you guys watch porn?
Yeah.
How do you feel about porn? Yeah?
I think it's cool. I think it's hard to find things that aren't, like, really aggressive and weird, though. Like, or just, like, really gross. Like, people who are gross-looking are, like... I don't know. I feel like you have to, like, get really, like, deep into things to find things that are more normal-seeming or, like, something I can relate to more. but I have a hard time finding things that don't just, like, immediately turn me off with, like, a disgusting guy or, like, just, like people who look really trashy.
And trashy.
Or
yeah.
Or, like,
right.
Trashy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. As soon as they start talking, I'm like, this is wrong. Like, see, you had a horrible life. I can't watch.
Yeah. Or just, like, really poorly shot or something.
Yes.
Yeah. You can tell they don't like each other.
Trashy doesn't bother me as much as, like, awkward acting and production.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like,
if it feels like it's an act, that's like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, we know you're acting, yeah. But can you just pretend like that it's something yeah. for us here?
No, yeah. I feel like, do you know, is there like a website where it's like all cool or something?
Unfortunately, cool. Like a lot of them are been taken over, like Pornhub is like the conglomerate, but there are like Tumblr porn is great right now. Do you ever go to Tumblr?
I do too. Yeah.
Lady Cheeky, she's Tumblr's a friend of mine. Tumblr's Chase. Great. Well, does she say her name? Yeah. Lady Cheeky. It's a great jumping off point.
Oh, cool.
And there's a lot of great Tumblr porn now.
Yeah.
Just scroll, there scroll, and then you don't leave your house all day.
What is it? You search in like the search
like
bar,
Tumblr, and then like a word you want.
Oh,
just whatever word. Frogs fucking.
Like
frogs
for example,
don't give me away, fucking. Lauren. We talked about this. God.
So, yeah, I mean, how much sex besides when I was there? Do you guys do stuff about improv around sex, or is it...
It does kind of come up a lot.
Yeah.
For the longest time, and it wasn't intentional, we kept doing shows where one of us didn't know what sex was, and then we all got to explain it, but we would, of course, do it badly.
Yeah.
Like, that was sort of a theme,
yeah.
like, for a while.
Yeah.
I think we just like explaining sex.
Yeah. Okay, so how about getting in the mood for sex? Like, should we talk about porn, or talk about the porn thing, but, like, do you have to think about, I mean, is the kind of thing, sometimes you're just, obviously, we're not always in the mood, sometimes we're in the mood, sometimes we're not, but do you fantasize about certain things? Do you mm-hmm. have to, what do? How do you get yourself going? Like, do you ever not want to, and then you get yourself?
I think, I'll just go for it.
Please.
I think that, like, if I'm not in the mood, but my partner is, then that can work for me. Like, I can kind of get into the mindset of it and, like, be excited. But it's like, if I'm not in the mood and I'm not thinking about it and they're not thinking about it, I can't just, like, turn that on out of nowhere.
This is the thing about women. We're just different, right? Women like that. Often, mm-hmm. We just can't just turn it on, like, oftentimes our partners can. But that's what I was wondering was where I was leading with that. Like, does improv help you, too, like, with fantasies? Because I think especially for women, like, a lot of it is we just have to... our mind has to be on board with our body often. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. So I'm wondering if it like can allow you guys create your own scenarios in your head about things. Like, are you more so able to? Because then I'm gonna take improv.
I don't feel like for myself I'm that. I felt like before, like in dating, I felt like I needed a lot from people, and that I needed intensity and aggression to get like into it, and then now when I'm in love I feel like it all is different, and I'm not really sure why, but I don't have those same, it's a lot easier to always want it.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's, you know, because it's like safe and you're in a place and you know your partner's there.
Yeah.
Has it's
great.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Just post it. Right.
No, I do feel like my mind definitely has to be engaged. I can't just be focused on the physical and that's it. Like I find that I really am mentally, I have to really be engaged, and I do a lot of fantasy when I masturbate, but then also when I'm in the act with my partner, and he'll, you know, like. We'll engage in like some talking. Little very light role play or like
that's perfect
pillow talk or something.
I like,
you know?
That. Yeah. So would you bring in? Okay, because I just did a show on this talking about role play, and I was saying to you like, okay, if you're listening, you're gonna roll your eyes because you think I'm gonna tell you to like you gotta dress up like the pizza guy or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can also when you're with your partner talking, you can kind of talk about things that you want to, you know, that you fantasize about. Not like it have to happen, but
yeah.
You know, there's another person or whatever it is, you create your scenarios. I think that can be a sexy way of mixing it up.
I've had good experiences with that, with like just
give examples. Could you give us an example?
Yeah, I have role played that I was a student at Hogwarts and he was Snape. Snape is my
That's
ultimate
awesome.
Sexual fantasy.
Love it.
Oh my god.
See, she can do it.
I love it. This is what I'm saying. And at first, it could be awkward, maybe. Or was it? Tell me how it went down.
It wasn't. It was actually like, it was.
Can you role play with someone here? Let's just do, like, you, maybe you, Lauren. I want to hear how
Harry Potter universe. Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah, she hasn't read Harry Potter.
Okay. So I read them.
Any Harry Potter fan?
Okay. I think Mary might be more.
I could.
Let's do it. Let's roll.
Mary, this would be good.
So, am I Snape?
Oh man, I feel like then I'd have to give you my whole like this is what I like and this is what I don't like.
Yeah,
don't
do that. Him, this like is this.
Don't be him.
Don't be him.
No, but people have a version of him in their head, and I'm like, yes. No, not that version. You're hurt, and like you don't hate the student, but you care about him very much, but you can't
Your
show
boy?
That. I could be whatever. It's a witch.
That's so interesting. Who cares?
So I'm hurt.
Snape, you know Snape.
Yeah.
He's so
emotionally.
Yes, he is. Oh, yes, I see
like,
what you're saying.
Lashes so, out at people. And he's a little mean.
Yeah,
he's gotta be a little mean.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was late.
Oh.
You
No, too awkward.
Hey,
but this is also like I'll be a little directive like that, and if
yeah,
people
that's
are okay
helpful,
with it,
though.
But yeah,
I think that's so helpful.
So helpful.
Play.
People are so afraid of it, like they get judged or whatever. Like yes, yeah. It might be awkward and weird at first, but keep going with
and
it.
Just keep
the payoff. The payoff is great.
I hate when things sound like porn too. Like I've had guys who really liked. In fact, the last couple guys I dated, I feel like really liked verbal. Like a lot of talking, and I don't have a problem with that, but I hated it when I could sense they wanted me to just sound like a porn, and it
absolutely.
Felt fake. And I was like, I hate being fake anyway. Like in any conversation, I feel like I'll go for being truthful and throw myself under the bus by like oversharing or just saying something where I'm like, I probably didn't need to say that. But it's the same with sex. Like I don't want to be like, ooh, your cock is so hard. It just sounds so fake to me.
Exactly.
You know, like,
yeah.
And I really want to say things that are meaningful to me, but then I also want to also, you know, please him in the way that he is into. So
I absolutely get it. A lot of people say it. They're like, oh, I'm having sex. I have some guy friends like I'm having sex.
Because I think it's so cheesy.
It's so cheesy. Yeah. You always say this too. They're like, I don't know. Every my friend was dating like a 22-year-old and he's probably like 40s. Like, but every girl I have sex with now. I feel like they just watched a porn because it's like they are acting exactly
yeah.
like a porn.
Okay.
Like,
oh, we talked about this when you came on the show, and it's
yes.
like, yeah, she's 22. She's not going to fucking know what sex is.
Exactly.
Like
so she's like, well, this is
so
what it is.
Your age. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love this. See, Aaron, I think this is really good that you are able to do this with in relationship. Just like kind of bring it and just say, like, this is what I like. Because it doesn't have to be that hard.
Well, but it's been a learning curve because I still like get so shy.
It was hard
about
with
it.
Mary, I know.
But doesn't your and this is what I'm curious about with this because like doesn't your partner or does it matter if your partner gets off on that side of it? You know what
well,
I mean?
They,
like how some I feel like I've been with people where I'm like, I like this, and if they like the opposite, it's like great. So you're not just trying.
They would have to
it's
like
a good
the
question.
Opposite. If I felt like they were at all kind of like, sure, I can do that for you, and it was a chore, I would not. It wouldn't turn me on.
Right.
I have to feel that they're very turned on. And
so it's
they,
like you're kind of like in initiating it. There is like an element of like, is this what you're like
then, yeah.
sexually?
And it's always been a conversation first. It's like I wouldn't have jumped into role play without being like, what if this? Or you know, it's like a back and forth of like. We could do this. We could try this. Would you be into this? And like, here's
right.
what's on.
You kind of talk about it first,
yeah.
right? Instead of just like, because all of a sudden you're like, what do you mean in Hogwarts? Like, what are you talking? Like, where are you coming from?
Since
right.
we're talking about scenarios, can I share the scenario that I've been sharing for
yes.
a couple years on the show?
Yes.
All right. Don't interrupt. Okay. I asked her a few years ago. I go, look, the perfect guy. He's well endowed. He'll take care of you financially. Perfect. He conversates with you. You love talking all the time. The absolute perfect man.
For you.
For Emily.
Oh.
I go, but there's just one thing that he wants to do in bed. He just wants you to dress as the Hamburglar from McDonald's. That's it. And she said she wouldn't do it.
I just don't find the Hamburglar sexy.
Because she says
but if he found it sexy, if he found it sexy.
That's what he needs to get off.
If I could make it more of like a my own version of the
but
Hamburglar.
But you make it about
you.
This is what
striped outfit.
Yeah, but this is
really
what this is what he
furry.
Needs.
He's a criminal.
He's going to take care of you in every single way.
No, I probably, you know what? I think I've evolved.
You think you evolved?
I would be
because she
version.
Made it about her. She
because,
said because it doesn't make me feel sexy.
No, but I would make a different version of it because I think like what you were just saying here and what's really important or Stephanie you were saying like if you don't
Can I ask them if they would do
yes,
it?
Yes, would you dress as the Hamburglar?
For the perfect partner.
What you the perfect guy wouldn't be what you described necessarily, but for my version of that.
Okay, whatever your
well,
perfect guy is.
I don't know
is.
My perfect guy either takes care of me financially. That's never been a thing either. But you're saying in general, if he was
okay,
a perfect guy.
Your perfect partner
Yeah.
For whatever you're looking for.
Yeah, that wouldn't, because unless it was degrading to me, I think I'd be willing to do almost anything.
I think I might feel humiliated wearing that costume as it is on the mascot now.
Right.
Design.
Like, if I made it like a cool dress or something, maybe, or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, that would be something I would do. Like,
fit it. Like, I don't know if I could walk around that flowy garb that Hamburglar actually like, he just escaped from jail.
I feel like I'm not imagining it right.
He doesn't even like the straight pants.
He's like a
bandit.
He's got a thing. And it was a joke. But really, I think the point of it is that your partner, I think that it's, sex is so confusing in relationships, and it can become such a place where we don't know what our partner wants, and then we don't even know how to talk about it. So I think that for a lot of people, like, they're happy that their partner's sharing what they like, and they can, and if your partner's on board with it and wants to please you, I think most of us just want to please our partners.
Yeah.
We're like good, caring, loving
people.
Yeah,
but if you don't, I'm like really trying to think about that. Because, to me, it's like, I wouldn't feel sexual.
Right.
I would feel like, ugh, like, what am I in?
You mean Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't,
like,
to me, that
meat.
Is, a, there's, like, a disconnect from my own sexuality. Uh-huh. It's like, I wouldn't feel like sex.
Right.
It'd be like, what? Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's why I would make it a sexier, like, one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But, are you just saying it's just because you don't like the character?
No, it's more
if it was something else,
like anything.
You'd be okay with?
I think I'm so open to things.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, at the same time, feel like part of the sex, like, it's like, oh, okay, this turns you on, I can get into this, I can get into how it turned on, like, whatever. But I think if something was, like, really
just out there,
not that it's out there, but my own like, what I'm into,
right? Mm-hmm. So what are you into? So what can you give us example of, like, what has worked for you?
I really like them to be more dominant.
Right.
And submissive. I can't have that reverse.
Right.
Like, really at all.
And had you had to, like, explain that to her? Did you have to discover that about yourself? I mean, you know.
No, it took me a really long time to share that with someone I was dating. And so I would just be very frustrated sexually.
Because we don't know how to talk about it. You're like, I know I'm frustrated, but it seems wrong to.
Well, a lot of people are just embarrassed to have the conversation.
And I think I'm with a woman now, but I think a lot of guys, when I was dating guys, it was like, well, I don't know what. Like, they're shy in that area. Because it's like, I don't want to, you know, make you feel bad, or I don't want to disrespect you, or, and it's sort of like, but
respect me still. But
that was
so
really
you're
tough.
With men for, were you always bisexual with men and women?
I was always with men, and then I'm now with a woman.
Wow. So how did you see that coming?
No.
How did this happen?
Blindsided.
Really? So it was never even like your fantasy. It just, you met a woman.
Never considered it, thought about it. Really had no experience with women, had never fantasized, really nothing. And then fell in love with someone who I really liked. And we would go out and have dinner all the time. And then I would just be like, but I'm not a lesbian. I'm not gay. Right. It sucks.
And then what happened?
It was like,
how did she get you?
It was like 6 months of that conversation. And then she was seeing other people, I was seeing other people, and then really she said, I can't do this anymore.
It's hard to be friends.
I'm gay, and I'm fine with it. Not that I wasn't fine with it, I just really didn't think I was. And then I slowly was like, God, I do really like her. I would prefer to be with her than these other people I'm with. And I was telling my sister about it. I'm like, it's just, you know, I don't know what to do about it.
This is so interesting.
Yeah. And my sister was like, maybe you're just prude. And I was like, oh, my, I think, it really hit me. I'm like, I'm terrified of the sexual aspect of it because it's so foreign to me.
Right.
And it reminded me of, like, being in middle school going, like, okay, what's a blowjob? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how all the sex part of it, I was just like, okay, so I'm starting at zero, and this person's been with people, she's an adult, you know? And I'm like, am I going to be bad at this? And what is, and in the same way of the submissive sort of my desires sexually, I'm like, I don't know how that works with women. Is it, like, the same? Do we, like, go 50-50?
Right, like, exactly.
And I was like, I'm going to be so bad. And then everything I wanted in one person.
Wow.
And, like, hands down the best out of anyone.
That's amazing. So the the first time, but she knows that you didn't have experience,
right?
So she was probably obviously more dominant. Took the lead, and then you were like, was it like riding a bike then? You're like, oh,
it was fine. It was very insanely easy.
See, that's Emily, so cool. You need to date women. That's what's been going on all these years.
No, but I have. I mean, I've had my dalliances, but maybe, yeah.
You haven't been in a relationship with a woman.
No, not a relationship.
I support this idea. You should totally do it.
You do?
Yeah.
I really don't know what's going to happen. That'd be good. It'd be a good show. I'll let you know if that happens.
It'd be good for you to test it out.
Is there anything sexually that surprised you guys about yourself? Like, that you're like, oh, wow, this happened. Like, what, Mary? She's nodding.
Yeah. This is actually a fairly... Evolved, you know. I've always known that, I really respond when I see things like this, but now I've started to lock into, this is something I should start trying to incorporate, and it is playing with the dominant submissive thing. I can remember specific scenes in movies that I'm like, oh, I love this, and it's when the man is in... I'm going to describe a scene. I'm going to describe a scene from a movie because I feel like this captures it the best.
Let me know if you need an extra actor.
I would love a scene from there. It's the movie Lolita with Jeremy Irons. There's a scene in that where, if you're not familiar with the movie, it's about, or the book, it's about an older man who falls in love with this young teenage girl and is just... driven mad by his love and desire for her. And there's a scene in the movie when he went out to go get groceries, and she's in their hotel room, and her lipstick is just a little bit smeared. And he loses his mind because he's like, you've been with someone, you've been with someone else. And he pushes her down on the bed, and they start messing around, and she's giggling, laughing at him. And he's crying and begging her, please tell me. And he's just losing his mind, and she's laughing at him. And I was like, oh, this is so hot. And I don't know what that is, because it's not so much, I really don't want to be a dominatrix or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think I've discovered recently, and this has surprised me, that I want to be worshipped, or I want to be desired in a way where it's
they can't control themselves. That's a fancy,
So you thought, because I think I forgot what it's called, but so you thought it was hot because the guy was crying, that he was very upset and distraught.
He was so at the mercy of her. Mm-hmm. I just loved it.
I mean, see, this is the basis for a lot of dominant submissive relationships where women, I think that. To put it more simplistic, though, a lot of us want to be worshipped, and we want to feel like he couldn't or she couldn't control herself, and it was really they couldn't do anything. They needed, they had to have me, no matter what. It was their life would end with their lust, their love for me was pouring over, and I was so desired that they had to go through mountains, all those romance novels and stuff, just to feel desired and wanted. And that's why it goes to the aggression too. People are like, I don't get that, but it's like. Something about it's okay if it gets aggressive because he can't handle himself because he's so overcome with how sexy and amazing and desirable I am.
And that's the thought that he would, this is going to sound so terrible, but that it's ruining his life.
Right.
That it's
he can't live without you. He cannot live and breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you recreate that?
No, I haven't yet, but I want to.
You just stated it. Now it can manifest that.
Now it can happen.
But I know what you mean with it. I feel sexually too. It's sort of fun to be in a safe place with someone, and you were saying, Steph, guys will be shy about the dominant part of it, and I'd rather date someone like that so that it's so clearly we're acting out a fantasy, because there's no part of me that wants in life to date a guy that is dominant or mean, or really actually Snape. Well, no, yeah, I do. But I like the idea of exploring sort of dark things or things I'm afraid of with someone sexually, when you're like, but this is totally not how we are in life. This mm-hmm. is like just us getting to do this like really intimate thing together, and it's not real. It's like not what our relationship is.
Yeah, that's yeah. what you know.
I think it can be scary when someone assumes that role without kind of discussing
that.
And
that would be so scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that would be like, oh, you're like this, and now I fear for my life, and
yeah,
no, thank you. Yeah.
And just very presumptuous. Right. I mean, even like there, some other comedian was talking about how. She's dated multiple men recently who all go straight to choking and sex
oh
kind of before
the
they do anything. And she's like, I don't like this. This isn't like, why do you assume I want to do this? Or why is this something that's like prevalent in the
porn
world?
I'm
that a porn thing?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, nobody was talking about, nobody asked me about choking. I mean, I started this 10 years ago. I've done 1,000 podcasts. I mean, no one never came up choking. Squirting never even came up until 4 years ago. And I believe... Some women do like it. They like the aggression, but choking comes up every single day now. And I think it's in a lot of porn, right? Like women being choked and
the
aggression.
The idea of doing that before anything, like kind of and just being
exactly.
like going through that. It's like, mm-hmm. what do you think
guys,
is happening?
Right. And I actually was having dinner. I had a weird, bad date a few weeks ago by mistake. I kissed a guy and then went out with him, thought I liked him, I didn't. But he was like, well, every girl, he was dumb, but he was like, every girl likes to be choked. That's what they, I mean, most women do. Like, just so stupid, like, because he saw it somewhere. I don't know what. He's like, they do. I mean, we had never had sex, but I was like, you're just ignorant about it. I think there's assumptions, you know? And some women, but again, you need to discuss it beforehand, always. Yeah. Don't assume that your partner wants, don't ever make assumptions.
And don't assume that what you're seeing in porn is most women.
That's my problem with it. Right. For them. Written by men, for men, not for you.
And to be a really heightened reality.
Right.
Like, everything happens so fast and so crazy.
Yeah, but don't lead with the choking. Like,
yeah.
You could do a little, like I would say, like, if you're spank someone, like a little like tap. Like, see how that goes over before you're, like, whacking someone.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
So, has there been anything that you have wanted to try that you haven't yet? Sexually?
Are you talking to
sex
me?
Sex toys? Yeah, you.
My bad. No, I was looking because the whole choking thing, there was something I was looking up that one actor from Kung Fu. Like, it really was in
the erotic asphyxiation?
Yeah, that was like in the news where it was really mainstream where everyone really heard about it for the first time, I think. I think that was the jumping off point.
Right. Oh, when he was doing his own. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you just got to be careful, too. Like, I get really nervous when people are like, I'm choking so hard.
I know.
What about, if then you want to try, what about sex toys? Do you use toys? Anything fun?
I don't use toys.
I'm not really a toy person.
You guys are all like naturals.
And masturbation, yeah. But
I don't even for that. It never has, it always feels really foreign and not. Attractive.
If you need one, Emily has like her whole
garage. I was literally hoping that you would give that amazing one that you had.
Yeah, the womanizer?
Yes.
Yes, I totally bring you. Did I not bring you one?
No, because you were showing it at the show and I was like, that looks amazing.
Yes, we could bring you womanizers.
Oh my God, okay.
I mean, her whole...
For a long time.
Why don't you tell me? Just text me. Use it though. It's a clit whisper.
Yeah.
It's like if your clit could speak, it would say, "Oh, I would like this to be on my clitoris right now."
She has a whole garage full of stuff.
I would like to try that.
Tell me
the machine, the Sibian.
The Sibian.
What is that?
That looks right.
That
I
have
this on your show, but I'm not sure what
is it?
This is.
The Sibian is.
Like
it was
mouth.
Made popular by the Howard Stern
by
show.
By the Howard Stern show. It's like it looks like a horse saddle.
He would put girls on it on the
yes.
show? Yes.
Yes. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And so it is the most powerful sex toy in the world. And they sent me one. They were one of my sponsors, and it's Menace actually came to our dinner party the other night.
It's heavy.
It's heavy. It's hidden in an ottoman, so you can't tell.
Yeah.
He's like, can I sit on that? And you can't move it over. So you turn it on. It's two controls, like a spaceship almost. You turn it, and you ride it, and it's got all these other attachments, and it really is the
it's pretty
ultimate
crazy.
Sex like, machine.
Yeah,
I do like it. No, I do like it. It's just really, it's a thing. It's like an event.
I know. There's a whole like
but it's
apparatus.
I mean, it is like your partner can watch. You could do it together. There's like a tat if you want. Like
what
internal,
does those
external.
Things retail for?
It's like a little over $1,000.
Oh my god.
Pocket change.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's why I mean. And the bummer is
make
like,
it
I
rain,
want, like I want it, but the thing is, I'm like, well, how can I share? Because like we were reviewing it and stuff, and they did send me attachments. Like, well, people in your office. I'm like, is that weird though to use my sex toy? Because it does. I mean, you can clean it off, but it is kind of like, I can't give you a signal at this point.
Yeah.
To share it. Like, Lori was going to come over. I got you some attachments. And I was like, this is just kind of weird to masturbate when I leave my house. I go bring it in the office. That's weird, too. But then nothing's really weird in our office. So it was all very confusing. But yes, I will hook you up with womanizers for sure because they're really cool.
Yes.
We will help me answer some emails here. We're going to do a quick email.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be awesome. Okay. Oh, thank you, everyone, for emailing me feedback@sexwithemily.com. I love hearing from you. Include your name and where you live and how old you are and how you listen. It makes us so happy. Hi, Emily. My name is Claudia. I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm emailing you because I need advice on how to become more confident and secure with my body during intimacy. Back in 2014, I had breast implant surgery, and after the healing process was over, I was left with really ugly keloid scars around my areolas, which messes with my self-esteem around my breasts. I plan to get as much of the scars removed as possible, hopefully next year. However, I currently can't send sexy breast pictures, and I don't want to take my shirt off during sex because the scars are so unsexy to me. It's depressing. I just want to have big, sexy boobs. Any advice on how to go about this during intimacy with someone? Should I be upfront and honest? Thanks a lot, Claudia.
All right. Can I answer it?
Yes.
Because we talked about this on our drunk podcast that we did. Guys are not going to care about the scars, so she shouldn't worry about all that. And then the sexy photos, Photoshop, it's easy. Or you can download
Photoshop,
an app.
Photoshop, like Facetune.
You can download an app on your phone.
But she doesn't want to Photoshop and send them to a guy and then show her breasts, because then she'll
feel like, at that point, a guy is not going to care.
Right, but I'm just saying, why not just be up front? I'd feel so weird something off of me, and then I was like, okay, so now I have to explain.
No. Totally understand.
No, like, I get
she shouldn't
it. I'm just
care
kidding.
At all.
The reason why I wasn't laughing, I was just like, it's just funny that she's like, well, how do I send sexy photos, you know? But I just thought that was just because it's like, you know, no one cares. Like, I just want to say that.
Guys,
you know,
do not care.
And it's like, we all have things as well. Okay, a bunch of women. Like, yeah, is there anything on your body that maybe you're insecure about? Like,
yeah.
Don't you ever have things? Yeah. We all have things that we worry about. And that's part of the process of becoming sexually confident, is that you just kind of like... You just, you know, you learn to love your body and you realize that, like, no one else is judging you as hard as you're judging yourself.
Or, like, being creative with the pictures and, like, not necessarily showing.
Yeah, like, covering the, you know, doing some sort of, like.
Right, but I
saw that sexy picture I took. Oh, yeah, Erin showed a sexy picture.
Oh, my God.
So
sexy.
I showed it at Wild Horses.
Again.
Oh, yeah. Hogwarts theme. Yeah. Hogwarts theme. So the guy I had been dating had given me a wand, a scarf, and Harry Potter glasses. And I, at the time, was like, that's so nice, even though I was like, everybody knows this about me. You couldn't give me a less meaningful present. But at the time, when I was still dating him, I was like, well, I'll wear it all, but only that. And so I took a picture, and I have small breasts, so I generally showcase my butt when I...
You just choose your... Right.
So I set it up. I had a time. I used a timer. It took me like 4 hours of time.
This is the other thing.
Oh, my God. I set it like in a candle thing. I kept it like... It didn't even occur to me to not have it on silent. Because then you can hear the photo go off. So I was like, did it go off? But I like lay on my bed with all this stuff on so you could like see my butt behind. I like posed it. I was like, this is my angle. But I had like 500. Then I was like, all right, here's the only one that is okay. And sent it.
That's good. It's such a process taking the pictures. I mean, I've never sent one because I just don't. I don't know. I don't have time. It's stressful. I just like takes 500
feel
photos.
Hard. Mm-hmm.
It is hard.
Much faster. Yeah. I send them all the time.
There's a Bluetooth button that you can buy at the Apple Store for your butt photos, so you don't have to use the timer. Click the button.
For your butt photos?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying there's a Bluetooth
button
that you can pick up.
Specifically for butt.
But what would you guys say to her? I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's so easy to say don't worry about it, men are, you know, whatever, but it's just...
I was going
to
say, well, first of all, I think a lot of people like scars.
Absolutely.
I love scars. I know a lot of people that do. And also, I always think about it, too, like, think of when you're having sex with someone or you're dating someone, are you ever judging their body thinking about yourself?
It's what I'm saying.
You never go, oh, look at that weird whatever.
You really don't.
And they're not thinking about you. Everyone's just thinking of themselves, so nothing matters if you can just get into it.
Yeah.
I think, too, if you're with a partner that you trust or that you are in a relationship with or feel like you can do this, I also think it's okay to be like, hey, just so you know, I'm pretty like self-conscious about these scars on my breast, so, you know, just like getting it out there. So I don't know if that would...
No, that could totally work.
Like,
so she's not the whole time kind of worried about like Anderson, you know, from Love Island, he's always saying that he dated a woman in high school or in college that for like 2 years, but she never took her bra off like the whole time they were together. He's like, what was under there? Like, I did not know they went swimming. You know, it's
snakes.
Just like, exactly. There might have been snakes. You're right. Something weird. But just,
And it's so attractive to be confident. Like, I think about being a teenager, and I was so, like, aware of my body and, like, going to the beach in a bathing suit. And it's, like, so many years wasted of not just, like, running into the water and having a great time at the beach, you know? And it's, like, I think that when you see people, of course, like, anyone's going to notice a great body and go, that's a great body. But also, like, if you go out with people that are bigger or smaller or whatever in different areas, it's like if they don't give a shit, you're like, that's the most beautiful, coolest looking person.
So true. Confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think cultivating confidence is like the most important thing that you can do. Does it, with your work, do you think it's really helped you? I'm sure with your confidence doing what you're doing and just kind of risking it all and going up there and saying, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought it was funny that you were looking at me. I don't have any confidence, but I
amazing delivery.
But I do feel that I am like confident about the fact that I don't, and I share it in a way that I'm like, listen, this is where I am. And so the times that I have told someone I was insecure about something sexually, it has felt strong because I was like, I'm just going to tell you this and I don't feel good about it and I'm sharing it with you. And that for me was confident instead of being like, I'm fine with it, which would have been fake for me.
Right. So just be honest with it because like life is too short to like suffer through bad sex. Talk
about
what you want.
That's a really good point. Like being confident with your insecurity, like not being ashamed of your feeling self-conscious. Right. Like that's still confident to be like owning that.
I'm insecure about this. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. I have 5 questions for you. Like 5 sex questions I want to ask you all, each one. Okay. Ready? Okay. I will start with Mary. Biggest turn on?
Lust.
Lust. Okay, Lauren, biggest turn on?
I actually want to say confidence. I feel like that is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Oh, I got confused. Oh, like.
Well, I'm asking
like
you all.
But in some. In someone else or what? Or
what turned you on? Yeah, what turned you on? Biggest turn on?
Shame and love.
Okay, good. You know yourself. See? Good. Stephanie?
I would say talent and energy.
Yeah, I feel like I answered wrong.
Biggest turn off. Biggest turn off.
My biggest turn off is, I think, probably
you blocked it because it's so awful.
I don't know. Probably just like... I don't know.
Maybe everything turned you on. Like maybe you just don't you see the positive.
Yeah, I think like really like if we're speaking of like porn, I watch a lot of porn. And I think the super aggressive, like really like close up shots of like things going in butts.
Right. Oh, really two things in butts. That's a good one. Okay, biggest turn off.
I think when I actually it kind of goes hand in hand with confidence or the opposite of confidence. Like when someone's very like self-doubting or like having or feeling like they suck or something like that is the turn off.
We'll never have sex. anytime I sense any level of someone being fake or ingenuine at all.
That's a good one.
Oh, that is good.
Mm-hmm. I answered right.
My answer sucks.
That was so good. Your answer sucks.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I agree with all those. Like self-obsession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm going to change mine to self-obsession. I shouldn't have said close-up.
Wow, we're so chill here. Change your answer. Okay, craziest place you've gotten busy. Had sex. This is fascinating. Rapid fire.
Oh, if you don't want to go first, you don't have to.
You don't have to. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, I have so much pressure. I'm really sorry.
No,
we started bringing these back. We used to, but you're right. I'm mixing it up. We don't usually have 4 people. We usually have what? This is amazing. Here you go.
In a car in the rain.
Ooh,
so romantic. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In a tractor in a field, but we didn't finish because I felt like it was too dirty for his butt, and I got grossed out.
That was so scary of you about his butt.
In a very narrow staircase.
Hot.
On a stranger's front lawn in the middle of the night.
Ooh,
nice.
I'm glad you didn't go first. That was crazier than all of them.
Sexiest word to you? Anyone?
Sexiest word?
Word.
Oh.
Love.
Oh. Need.
Fuck.
Fuck.
I don't know. Like that.
I know it's hard.
Sexy, like sexiest word.
I said employment on mine.
Employment.
Oh, cash.
Right. Like woman with a pay stub. Did you say cash?
I totally just whispered that to you as a joke, but you didn't hear me.
I love that one.
No. It was just like, it just meant to like bring it all together, that somebody that has their own thing going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we all answer? Sex story. The one thing that you wish you could tell your current or future partners about your body or your needs. I know.
It's a hard one. I don't even remember that one.
Maybe we didn't get to it.
Yeah, probably.
The drunk show?
Yeah.
The one thing you want to tell, like, the...
Yeah, like, just... I always say, like, what do you wish you could tell... What do you wish that all men or women knew about sex that you don't know? Like, I'm thinking...
Oh, okay. I remember it now.
Yeah.
I what do you wish being touched a lot. Like, I could... There's no, like... during the day or during sex, whatever. Like, a lot of touch.
A lot of touch.
Do not discount foreplay. Like...
Oh,
foreplay is so important.
Yeah, don't even call it foreplay. It's
right,
just
that's
just
part of it.
It is, exactly.
But if someone just goes straight to touching the privates,
it's the worst.
Like, well, now I hate this.
And we're not turned on. We don't know where they walk in the room. The whole thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Foreplay. Can I also just tag on to that answer? Yeah.
You're allowed.
I would say be really, like, connected and intimate or willing to be, or don't be there. It's so hard for me to be sexual with someone who doesn't really want to, like, emotionally be there as well.
Right.
I just watched Bull Durham. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
It's such a great movie.
And that reminded me of that, like, the difference between Tim Robbins and Kevin Costner, like, a young guy and a man who can, like, undress her, and, and it's slow, and it's so, beautiful, and then when she's with the young pitcher, he's just like ripping his clothes.
Such a great example. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
God,
I can watch
to be with a man
multiple times a day.
Oh my God, so
it's
good.
Such a good movie. Yeah. I'm gonna watch it. That's
my mom had that poster in our bathroom when I was growing up.
That's a great one.
Yeah. That is so good. Now you have to see it. Okay, so thank you all for being on. Anything else you want to promote? What's coming up? Tell me everything.
Ooh, we do a show.
Wild
we do a
horses.
Show every month at UCB in LA. At the first Saturday of every month at 10 o'clock, and
and it sells out, right? Like in 5 seconds.
Yeah, so get those tickets.
You guys have your own podcast, right?
Oh yeah,
correct.
We do. We do one on Howl, which is Earwolf's paid subscription podcast network. But should we give
Lauren?
Yeah, if you go to howl.fm, you can use the code WILD to get a month free, and you can listen to our whole show for free because there's 5 episodes. So
yeah. And Lauren, you have a podcast?
I do have a podcast called with special guest Lauren Lapkus, and you can hear that on the Earwolf network on earwolf.com or iTunes. And that's my plug.
I love it. Okay. Anything else for you? Thank you so much for coming in.
No, I'm great.
Do it.
Perfect.
You've been so good.
Show, Mary.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Well, you know, you could get the Stars app now. They've got an app just like HBO Go and all those other subscriptions. STARZ, yes. And I'm on a show called Blunt Talk that's on that app.
Congratulations. You guys are all doing really well. And I was honored to meet you and be in your show. It's really great.
So
it was
great.
Awesome. Thanks for coming here and talking
sex.
I didn't know, like, were they going to be comfortable talking about this? I don't know you guys.
Great.
But thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Check out their show, Menace. What's up with you? Anything else that we can
do? Just follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Menace. That's it.
Okay. We'll do that.
And my dog, Chiro.
My dog, Chiro. Okay, and same thing, because I'm into the Snapchat thing, everything sex let me cross the board.
Yeah, keep on Snapchatting. I support that.
Oh, fun.
It's so
fun. I just got into it.
I know. I just understood it. Just figured it out like 5 minutes ago. Okay, thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, guys. Are you looking for a way to mix up your masturbation routine? Well, let me tell you about the number one sex toy for men, and really, the only one you want. The Fleshlight. It's a masturbation sleeve that you use solo or with a partner that simulates the sensations of real sex and was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. There's a Fleshlight for every man's needs. And now, there's a new addition to the Fleshlight family, the Quick Shot. It's an open-ended male masturbator, has the patented super skin material, but the Quick Shot is smaller, easier to handle, and requires way less cleanup. It can be used solo or with a partner to take handjobs and blowjobs to the next level. I think that for every woman who has a sex toy, every man should have one of these. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, and use code EMILY to get a free bottle of their award-winning Flesh Lube. Check it out. You'll thank me.